We'll open up to Philippians somewhere, about chapter 3. Hallelujah. How many were not at the 8:30 service this morning? Okay. All right, most of you were. I hope they make those available. These services here lately have been something else, you know. Anyway, we're going to be in chapter 4 here in a minute. Summary of a lot of things, and really I'm not summarizing all things that were said at the 8:30 service. If I was going to try and make it a, you know, Sue calls me the master of synopsis. If I was going to try and condense that, a new day has come. A new day has come. And Dave was describing the blackness, you know, and the hopelessness. And I know he said it was so dark. He says I could move my hand and it was still just as dark behind my hand as it was in front of my hand. Darkness that can be felt. None of y'all know anything about that, right? Hopelessness and discouragement and nothing is working and revival's never going to come and God's never going to use me. And besides, I still can't get my bills paid. And and with other people, it's other things, you know. And then Tim was talking about how he saw it. He said he was like in a cave. He didn't even know where he was. He said it was just so dark you couldn't see anything. And he saw one little pinhole of light about the size of that, not the exit signs, but that little red dot over that exit sign. Way off in the distance, he saw one little dot of light. So all he can do, you know, is just start walking towards that light. And he says, you know what's funny? Even though he walked towards it a long time, it never got any bigger till he was pretty close to it. Maybe 10 or 15 feet away is the way I took it. And then all of a sudden, he saw it was the entrance to the cave that he had been in for so long. And he suddenly stepped out into this bright, wonderful, glorious blue sky day, turned around to look at the cave, and the cave itself was gone. Coming into a new day. And then about the first of the year, some instructions that came to Tim was, one of those instructions was, make room for the new. Make room for the new, which by implication, get rid of the old. Mm-hmm. You ever get, you know, okay, enough said. Well, that, my job, as you know, my job around here, you know, first you have the scientist. I'm not a scientist, I'm an engineer. A scientist says, well, E, energy, equals mc squared. That's mass times the speed of light squared, you know. And they get all excited about that. But the engineer doesn't get so excited about that, but he starts messing with those equations. And pretty soon he comes up and says, you know, I think we can make a toaster with this that'll help people. So my job is to come and give some practical application to that. Mm-hmm. Because if we're coming into a new day, we're old, let's say it this way. See, if you're going to walk in a new day, I hate to tell you this, but no, I don't hate it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to receive the new, there's some old stuff got to go. And usually, we're not so much talking about physical addictions. We're not talking so much about physical things, although it will manifest in physical things. What we're really talking about is old ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Zig Ziglar used to say, every now and then, you need a checkup from the neck up, and you need a surgery to remove hardening of the attitudes. Now we're going to talk about changing our attitude and walking towards the light. How's that sound tonight? Okay. All right, now, Philippians 4, Paul gives some of the best counsel. I love to preach this. I love to teach this. I have analyzed this. I have taught it before. I sit and listen to my own CD of it. It's wonderful. You know? But I'm telling you what, it is one thing to know it. It's one thing to teach it. It is another thing to live it, okay? All right, so we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4 at the second finally. This is why I... Well, there's two finallys. Look at Philippians chapter 3. This is why I can have at least two closings. See, look at chapter 3, verse 1. It says, finally, my brethren. Doesn't it say, finally, my brethren? Now look at chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren. So it's scriptural to have at least two closings, okay? So I say, this is my first closing. I have a right to a second one. All right. Let's back up for a little bit here because I'm not, I mean, this, we're having a little bit of fun, but God is serious now.
We're coming into a new day. And old patterns of thought, old things. You know what's really sad? Fear of the unknown causes you to cling to the known, even when the known is making you miserable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even when you're not happy with the known, you're not happy with your walk, you're not happy with your power level, you're not happy with your fellowship level, but at least you know what it is. And that over there, outside the cave, I don't know what's out there. You see? Well, we're about to change a lot of that. So, nobody has any trouble with verse 6. Let's start there, Philippians 4, verse 6. And you've got it in the Amplified, right?
Yep.
I need that. We're going to read it out of the King James first. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In the Amplified, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Just don't leave that too quick. Do not fret or have any anxiety about the big things. Even the little things? God cares about your little things? Yeah, see? Do not fret or have any anxiety. I saw a deal on the news here. I mean, our whole nation is becoming a Xanax nation. It's becoming, what's some of the other ones? I mean, you know, just people taking things because their anxiety level is just so high. You know, Prozac and I don't know what all, just trying to level them out. God has Prozac for you. It's called the peace of God. And He gives you specific instructions. He gives you specific instructions how to walk in it. And actually, it's so specific, you can say, and if you don't walk in this, you're going to have the natural Prozac or the natural sedatives, okay? All right, so, sorry, Bernard, I just have to keep your Bible. So, okay, so let me finish it out of that verse, at least out of here. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in... Well, that's what we've been doing. See, that's the cave. I fret and I'm anxious about everything. The economy's bad. Oh God, oh God, oh God, you know. The flu's going around. Oh God. They didn't put the right thing in the vaccine. Oh my. When are we going to learn? When are we have an all powerful God. An all powerful Father. Nothing ever takes Him by surprise, by the way. He doesn't get up and read the paper in the morning. Oh God, there's a recession. Oh, he'd have to say, oh me. Oh me. There's a recession. I wasn't planning for this. I didn't know anything about this. What are my children going to do? You think he gets fretful and anxious about that? Oh me. I like that. I'm going to do it in King James first. Oh, here, Bernard, you can have it back. There. I'm going to have to stay with this. I just wanted to get that one part. Don't be fretful or anxious about anything. Why? See, that sounds good. I could just close the meeting right now. Everybody just go home and don't do that. You ever tried that?
Yeah.
That's what Dave talks about. I've been in those services, those kind of years before we ever come here, that have casting all your care thing, you know, and you come to the altar and, you know, you may even physically, you know, go through the motions, casting your care at the altar, you know. And really, for a few minutes, you feel pretty good. The load kind of comes off. And I just love exactly the way Dave says it. He says, the problem is, I drive a Volkswagen. And my cares, they drive a Ferrari. And they always beat me home. By the time I get home, you know, there's all my cares just waiting on me again. But there is precise information in this passage to walk free of anxiety and care and fretfulness. So let's look at it here. First off, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, boy, that with thanksgiving is not in there for no reason. Treat God like He's real. Don't bother praying if you don't think He's going to hear you. That's what faith is. If you're going to go to the trouble of praying, believe
you receive when you pray, and that means quit worrying about it. Stop it. Yeah, but you'll get attacked by whole herds of yeah, buts. Yeah, but what if? Yeah, but. Yeah, but. You need to have a yeah, but barbecue. Roast all the yeah, buts. Have a big old barbecue. Say, yeah, but I got a yeah, but for you. Yeah, but my God is all powerful. Did you understand that? And He hears me when I pray. And once I pray, the worry is over. This is real easy to preach. With thanksgiving. I try and be transparent enough. Now, since we mentioned Dad Hagen this morning, one of his stories that has blessed me the most, you know, I mean, I'll never forget this, is in the early days after he'd been healed of his heart disease and the blood problem and all those things. And he was going through the New Testament, and he come to this part, is either here or another place, where it says, basically, don't worry. And he says, God, I don't know what I can do. I mean, not only am I a worrier, I come from a family of world-class worriers. My mama worries, her mama worries. What do you mean, don't worry? And here God says, don't be fretful or anxious about anything. So I remember he says he was doing his best to try and cast all his care on the Lord. It was bedtime. He got down beside his bed, prayed and prayed and casting all of his care till he fell a release. Got into bed. Wasn't in bed 10 minutes, I don't think. Caught himself worrying about it again. Literally, get out of the bed, kneel by the bed, do it again. I forget how many times he had to do that till he finally got rid of it. Now, we're talking about, I don't care if that's what it takes. I don't care if we've got to do that for 5 nights, 10 nights, and things are going to change. Amen. We're not going to remain a fretful, worryful, is God going to hear me people. Yeah. That with thanksgiving part means He hears you. Thank Him for it. Yes. Hallelujah. And if we learn to do that, it says, let your request be made known unto God. Mm-hmm. And see, and if we do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I am so thankful that those words are in there. Your mind does not have to have the solution in order for you to walk in peace. I can hear Norval's voice right now. I told you I listened to Norval's tape so much in the early days. I still hear the Holy Ghost in Norval's voice about half the time. You too? Yeah, I can hear him right now. Wondering when God is going to do it and wondering how God is going to do it. My brothers and sisters, that's called doubt. How'd I do? Pretty good? Pretty good? It passes your understanding. Quit trying to figure it out and just pray it out. Thank Him like He heard you. Thank Him like He heard you. Daddy, can I have a new bicycle? Daddy says, yes. That's all the kid needs to know. He don't care if Daddy's got to work overtime. He doesn't care if he's got to go, shopping. The kid could care less how Daddy's going to do it. He's just rejoicing and telling all of his friends, I'm getting a new bicycle. Why? My daddy said so. Amen. When are we going to develop childlike faith like that? With thanksgiving, it says. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You don't have to understand. You don't have to know how He's going to do it. Shall keep your heart. Notice the sequence. Keep your heart and your mind. Now your heart there is your spirit. Your heart, your spirit man, and your mind, that part of the soul, the reasoning. It's also, I think, including the emotions here. Oh, I'm not the only one. Through Christ Jesus. So, He's not through yet. Now, finally, brethren. Now, here it, boy. Here is the literal instruction. Easy to preach. Easy to teach. So hard to do, especially when you're in the war. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. He does not say factual. He does not say factual. If you meditate on the facts, you're going to get defeated.
Well, now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Cancer is a fact. And if you've been diagnosed with it, we're not one of those that say, you know, deny the facts. No, the situation is a fact. But God's Word is truth. And God's truth will change your facts. So he just says, don't meditate on the facts, meditate on the truth. Well, the facts may be, the doctor says, I've had this diagnosis with cancer. You got 6 months to live. That's the facts. My Father's Word says, by His stripes I was healed. He will bless my bread, bless my water, and He will take sickness away from the midst of me. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Truth changes fact. So meditate on what is true. What's the truth? I'm healed. By His stripes. Besides that, I prayed about it and He heard me. But you got to meditate on the truth, it says. Think about the truth. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Okay, now let's think about just for a minute. See, because the devil's going to tell you, well, you're getting what you deserve. Hey, if you get what you deserve, it's hell. Just get that straight right now. If you get anything based on your works, you're going to hell. Give it up. Okay? What is just? The one who knew no sin became my sin. And He has already suffered under God's justice. He has already suffered the full penalty. And now it is just for me to receive all of the inheritance that He shared with me. Everything He died to pay the penalty for, it is just and reasonable for me to walk in the fruit and the enjoy the benefits of it. Amen. Well, how is that just? Because of Him, not because of me. Yes. Because of the price He paid. I don't go to God with, don't be like that Pharisee. Now, even though we fast and even though we pray and even though we do those things, don't go, God, You need to heal me because I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all. And look how much better I am than this publican. You start going to God based on your righteousness, you're going to get hell and all its benefits because that's what you deserve. Amen? Now, but it is just for you to get every blessing of God because He paid the price for you to have it. Don't ever forget that. Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own, which is by the law, but the righteousness which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things... Now, this is what everybody thinks about all these things while they're in the midst of their problems. Whatsoever things are lovely... Whatsoever things are of a good report. You know what this really is? This is a definition of counting it all joy. It's like an expanded definition of, well, how do I count it all joy? This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Yeah, but they're talking ugly about me and they're saying bad things about me. Yeah, but what is God saying about you? What does God say? You're too quiet. You think He's saying bad stuff about you?
No.
He wants us to hold fast our confession and He doesn't hold fast His, what? Now, like any good parent, I've been to the woodshed. But after that's all, hey, y'all know how we feel about Cole now, 4 years old. This hand right here has had to apply the board of understanding to the seat of learning. Okay? You know, the hand. I hate doing it. I hate doing that. But is because I don't love Him, because I do love Him. But boy, when it's all over, I reassure Him He is the apple of my eye and He knows it. And He knows it, see. So after it's all over, see. Praise God. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Every time I counsel with anybody, it's always the same. They call up and say, Gary, I'm in the midst of so many good reports, I'm overflowing, and I want to spend some time to share all my good reports with you. That will be the day. I'm looking forward to that day. You know? No, what's happened is because you've done just the exact opposite of everything in this, now you feel like you're about to die. You feel like you're right on the edge. Oh, somebody throw me a lifeline, and we will.
Amen.
But again, he's trying to move all of us from the side of the line we've been on, from the receiving side of the line to the ministering side of the line. And that means we're going to have to start walking in the peace that passes understanding. Now, let me get through with this before we go any further. This is good stuff, I think, myself. So easy to teach. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I wish it was in there on purpose. Because if you don't do that on purpose, it is not going to happen naturally. That is not the natural way humans function. The natural way is be moved by what you see, be moved by what you feel, be moved by your emotions, and oh God, I need another counseling session, oh God. You know? If we don't do this on purpose, on purpose, we're going to have to fill our minds and our mouth with the Word of God. Say, if you, not necessarily quoting Scripture every time, but at least speaking in line with the Scripture. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Those things which you have both learned, it's not like they haven't learned. Paul's been there teaching them. And received. In other words, they didn't rebel at the teaching. And heard and seen in me. In other words, they've learned it, they've received it, they've heard it, and they've seen Paul do it. Now he just says, do. Do. That's a big word. That's your whole life is right there. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. I almost like to put, now you don't have to. You could almost put there though. And if you don't, he won't. I mean, he'll be with you in the sense of he's there. But you won't be walking in his peace. Why? You're walking opposite of his counsel. You're walking opposite of his counsel. He says those things that I can't. Anyway, can't go there right now. Hallelujah. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. James over there, really this is a very similar message to what James wrote. When you fall into divers temptations, counter it all joy. Counter it all joy. Then later on, I think it's in the same chapter, maybe the next one, he says, it's only the doer of the word, that's blessed in his deed. Well, what would be the doer of the word here? You could go through and you could just make a whole list here. Starting again up in verse 6, well, first off, we're not going to worry about anything. That'd be step number one. That is a... You think that's going to happen automatic?
No.
You think because we preached it here tonight?
No.
No. That comes with doing the last part. That comes with if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Let me give you an example. I love this story. There was this lady back in the late Western times. It was starting to become modern times. But, you know, people still rode horses a lot, and this lady had two grown sons. She just loved her boys. And one thing about it, nobody could ever get her to say anything bad about her boys. Well, they got all, you know, liquored up one night, and they come riding into town on their horses, and they just took their guns out and shot out every street light in town. Just shot them out. The next day, the sheriff come out and says, went to the mother, says, I want you to come into town with me and see what your boys have done. Brought her into town, showed her every street light in town was shot out, them on horseback riding through, drunk, shot out the lights. He's waiting to see what she says. She looked at it. Pretty good shooting for boys in their liquor. Now that's seeing the positive. That's finding some virtue and some praise in every situation. Okay? All right? See, God's Word is the only place you're going to find those things. Because this whole world system is designed to do just the opposite, to crush you with just the opposite of all this. Whatsoever things are factual, whatsoever things are, you know, not pure, they're not lovely, evil report. You know, recession's coming. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The dollar's falling. You know, what are you going to do? Think about this and think about that. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to make my requests. See, one of the things to do is make your requests made known to God. What do you want Him to do for you? Well, I want a better job. Have you asked Him?
Uh-huh.
I thought about it. I keep talking about it. I need a better job. I don't know the... See, I talked to him and I talked to her. I keep telling him I need a better job. I don't know that I've actually knelt and asked my Father. And if I did, I'm pretty sure I didn't do it with thanksgiving, thinking that He heard me when I prayed, to the point that it left me. Like Cole does if he asked Papa for a bicycle. Once he asked me and Papa says, yes, trust me. It has left him. The burden has left him now. Now, he may remind Papa two or three times. But he knows it's coming. We've got to become like that. All right? Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Kora masan de lebreto kiste. Mumbarashon de lebreko mistela broku si creandus de lebrato maste kite. Frondo le libra cumba. Ashe lebratuse. Fumbaramaste le kido. I'll probably take the tongues off. Shondera labrosta kitai. Frondo matste ki monsto manto. See, it's graduation day. This is a new season. It's graduation day. You're not in primary school anymore. You're moving into the upper classes now. It's time to begin taking initiative for your own study. Not, what is that word? Not waiting in line to be spoon-fed by others.
Amen.
He's waiting to hear your prayers.
Yes.
He wants to hear your confessions that you labored and dug out of the Word.
He's
not done. Shondala brastoki. Truly, all things are possible to those that believe. The foundation has been laid in you, line upon line, precept upon precept, and laid again, line upon line, precept upon precept, and laid again, line upon line, precept upon precept. Then there has been a season now of building upon the foundation in each of you the first measures of the house I intend for you to occupy in your calling. But now the time has come where others are going to lay down the trowel. And you're going to pick up the trowel. With a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. It is time that you and I begin building the ministry that I've called you to. Each and every one of you now. It's time for you to reach over. Grab a brick. Yourself. Put some mortar on the trowel. You begin to build with me, says the Lord. Whoa. But part of that, if we're going to keep it in the context of what he's saying, he's talking about part of that is going to be rebuilding where our mind lives.
Yes.
Our mind's been living in a cave. Our in the backside of the desert has been so dark we can barely see a little pinhole of light. And boy, that is exactly where the devil wants to keep you. Always stumbling around in the dark, you know, waiting for somebody else to feed you, you know. But I see it. He's bringing us into this new time. And that's going to take a renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind. That brick and the brick he's talking about there, it's everything. It includes not only his written word and the confessions like we've talked about. It includes warring over the prophecies if you've had some. Some so new they haven't had any yet. You will. He's got stuff to say to you. You know? He's got stuff to say. And if he's already said them,
You need to war over those prophecies, just like Paul wrote to Timothy. Mm. By them do make a good warfare. But it's time for us to do them ourselves. What I mean is study them out. Mm. If you find yourself... Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. See, last week we talked... I think it was last week. Didn't we talk about setting a watch upon our lips?
Yes.
He's
yes.
saying this week, set a watch upon your minds.
Ooh.
I heard that and I was going, yeah, we talked about that last week. Set, ask him to help you set a watch upon your mind. Every now, and what's going to happen with that? He's just going to like a wake-up call. Because, see, we're so used to this, it's like breathing. I don't really notice every time I take a breath, do you? Took one. You know? you don't even notice it because it's such a part of you. Worry and fretfulness and just plain old down in the dumpness has become so routine. It's like breathing. We don't even realize we do it. So I hear him saying, let's just ask him now. Let's ask him to set a watch upon our mind. Father,
we're asking you,
set a watch
upon our mind.
Alert us
when our minds
are in rebellion to Philippians chapter 4. At least show us, Father, how often we're doing this. So we can change it. In Jesus' name, I thank you.
I thank you.
Amen. 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 So now, it's not a scolding. It's not a scolding. He's going to start showing you. He's going to start, you know, because it's become so routine for us, we don't even know we do it anymore. So in the same way that we talked last week about asking him to set a watch upon our lips, he's going to start setting a watch upon you, and you'll just catch yourself, there, I'm worrying again. We may have to do like Dad Hagen. Maybe you won't be at bedtime, but you'll just have to stop again. Just stop. Say, I'm casting this on you again. Yes, ma'am.
Can we tell people, don't get discouraged when you first begin to do this? Because you're going to find out just how much time you waste on negative thinking.
Me too.
On things that are not according to the Word. Because when I first started, I was so overwhelmed, I cried. I really didn't realize how much worrying and negative thinking I was doing.
And it's yes, don't get discouraged. You got to remember, we get like, you get like, if you come to all three services, you get like four infusions a week. You know, 8:30, 10 o'clock, 7 o'clock, well, 5. Tuesday night if you come, Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night. But see, that's a short amount of time compared to all the hours of the week. And all the rest of that time, everything you see practically, everything you hear, everything on the news, everything people say, nearly all of that is programming you the other way. That's why we've got to do this on purpose. So don't, if it's a lot, if he shows you it's a lot, don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Go, this is why it ain't been working. And he's going to get me out of this. See, so be encouraged. Oh, okay, I see. This is why I think I'm beginning to understand why I'm not walking in the peace of God.
True. Yes.
I'm worrying about this stuff all the time.
True.
Well, we can change it. They have to do it on purpose. Yes, sir. Hang on. Yeah. If you battle this with thoughts alone, you'll fail.
Oh, yeah.
Someone asked me one time, you know, 1 Corinthians 14, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. And they said, well, can I just think in tongues? I can, be honest with you, but I can. Some people can't, but I can. But, you know, it doesn't say he that thinks in an unknown tongue. You got to remember, the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the primary ways that he moves in the earth is through the spoken word. Don't ever forget that. Remember, all the way back to Genesis. I know I've taught you this again and again, but it's so vitally important. God wanted light. The Holy Spirit was there, hovering over the face of the deep, but it was dark. He has all ability to create light. He's omniscient. The Holy Spirit, he knows the Father wants light. But why is he not making light? He is waiting for the spoken word. That's what releases the power of the Holy Spirit more than anything else. He is waiting for the spoken word. So when you catch yourself worrying, don't just think against that. Speak against that. Open your mouth and let the word of God, something, either the word of God directly or something in line with the word of God, come flowing out of your mouth. Hagin put it again this way. I guess we're fundamentals tonight. You know, if the enemy can keep you over in the area of the mental, he'll defeat you every time. But if you can hold him over in the arena of faith, you'll defeat him every time. Well, faith has two parts, not just one. Faith believes in the heart, says with the mouth. And most failure comes by part two. Rudy, did I say what you was going to say? Okay, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well, I think this was a good checkup from the neck up. Straightening out the hardening of the attitudes. Amen. I believe in a God of practical instruction. I was counseling some this week, and just going back over some of the things that He's given me in my own life. Practical, when I had to change something, when something had to change. Practical instruction. So, along with this message tonight, pray and listen. Pray and listen. How do you say it that time? Sit, listen, and then hearken. That means do. He will give you practical instructions if you listen. They don't always make sense to the natural mind. Okay? But if you'll listen, He will give you practical, down-to-earth, something-to-do instructions that will turn things around. All right. Hallelujah. I keep seeing this. I want to have to share it with you. Trust me. I am not the man that got saved in 1980. There are strongholds remaining, but you just don't even know all the strongholds that have already been dealt with. And in those days, you know, when women get together, it's very common for them to be, if there's any, probably not in you, but if there's any flaws in their spouse, sometimes, you know, in the privacy of their own little conversations, you know, well, my husband this and my husband that. But Sue, and trust me, Sue had probably more ammunition than any of them. We're talking a long time ago. Now she'd still have some today. But it really was worse. I mean, really was. But see, early on, she caught on in Proverbs about death and life being in the power of the tongue and they that love it, you know, and all of those things about speaking with a perverse tongue and all of that. So, I mean, they'd be doing that. She wouldn't try and correct them. But then, you know, people just kind of, now it's your turn to talk. She'll say, my husband only speaks princely things. God's word is the only thing that ever comes out of his mouth. He's an upright, righteous, and holy man. You know, y'all would get real quiet. They could not get her to speak anything but God's truth. And I thank God for that. Now, if you don't think in the realm of the Spirit that that doesn't bring angels on the scene and the power of the Holy Spirit on the scene, if you doesn't think that didn't help accelerate the transformation of my walk in a lot of areas, it does. It does. Quit speaking facts. Start speaking truth. All right. I think I've obeyed him now. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's reminding me, you know, all that we just read about Paul, the things you've heard and seen and learned and me do. How many of you heard Rick Renner teach about that book of Philippians? Where Paul was. Where was Paul when he wrote it? He was in prison in the Tullian Keep, which was part of the sewer system of Rome. Spent much of his time waist deep in human dung as the sewers flowed. That was part of the torture. That was part of the punishment. And in those conditions, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, he wasn't hanging there in shackles thinking about how bad it was. Whatever he was thinking about, it was full of the promise and the glory of God. Full of peace, right in the midst of. I was just seeing that. I was saying, oh my God, I forgot that. I forgot that part. He wrote that in circumstances that most of us would never face anything like that. Anyway, isn't that something? The things you've seen and heard and learned in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you.
Glory to God. Now I'm going to tell you this, previews of coming attractions. The man at the gate beautiful did not get healed on his faith. Did you hear that?
Yes.
He was born lame. The man has no experience with walking except seeing other people do it. The Holy Spirit here lately, I can't not get away from this guy. I see him with those legs withered up like I saw Tommy Perez's legs. He's 30 now and hasn't walked since he was just a little, I mean, maybe 3. So his little legs are more like arms. I mean, you know, they have no development whatsoever. They're just skinny. And I saw this, and I keep seeing it. And he says, the anointing that's coming, they're going to get healed on your faith.
Amen.
They're going to get filled on filled and healed on the anointing you walk in. And it's going to be a sign and a wonder to a lost city.
Amen.
And then the world. I mean, we're coming into an anointing where when you say it, it happens.
Amen.
That's going to take a little renewing of the mind. Hallelujah. Because people get so... Can you imagine? I mean, here's the guy. You talk about programmed. Programmed. Your whole life never walked, born that way from your mother's womb. You talk about hopeless, where the darkness is in the cave. No chance, no hope whatsoever until a believer comes. A believer comes. Hallelujah. All right. I don't know how people don't get it. How? Man, this is what floats my boat and heats my chili. This is the stuff that makes life worth living.
Amen.
Good Lord. You get discouraged a little bit sometimes. So what? Get back in there. Mm. Hallelujah.